That's a lot of angels. How about at the tomb? Were there angels at the tomb? Absolutely. Were there angels at his resurrection? Angels at his ascension? And there's going to be angels coming with him in the second coming. And also, they're going to blow a trumpet when we are raptured out of this place. Amen?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day and welcome back to Love Never Fails. Today in part two of our study on Hebrews chapter 1, verses 4 through 14, we turn our attention to one of the central arguments of the entire letter. Jesus is unequivocally superior to angels. Jesus eclipses all created beings, including the highest angelic powers. So get your Bibles ready as we join Pastor Bill for part two of What Angels Can and Cannot Do.
Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change this not, God says. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, you are not consumed. Look at verse 13. But to which of the angels has God ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? That's the seventh quotation. That is Psalm 110, verse 1. It's the most quoted psalm in the New Testament. Question, loved one, did God ever give any kind of promise to an angel like that? Did ever God say, come on and sit at my right hand? No, he never said that. There's coming a day we will see it. There's coming a day when the rule of man will be over and all the enemies of God, they're going to be abolished. Man will never have his evil way again on this planet. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 15:24, it says, then comes the end, meaning the second coming. And when Jesus, he delivers the kingdom to the Father, when he, meaning Jesus, when he puts an end to all rule, when he puts an end to all authority, all power, that's invisible, visible, whatever it is, all the, whatever, abolished forever. For he, meaning Jesus, he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Now, he's going to reign. That's the kingdom age. That's a 1,000-year reign that we talked about earlier. He says, and the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Death. Now, when we get over to chapter 2 of Hebrews, we're going to learn that Jesus has tasted death, whatever death really is. He's tasted the depth of death for every person. Amen? He's also defeated him who has the power of death, and that is the devil. But listen very carefully. One day, you know what we're going to see? We're going to be standing there with our Lord after the great white throne judgment. And you know what we're going to see cast into hell with a false prophet and the beast and the Antichrist, remember? And Satan. It says that Hades will be cast into hell and also death, the last enemy. God calls death an enemy, and death is an enemy. We were not made to die. Amen? Death is an enemy. It's because of Adam, that's where death came into the world, loved one. Listen, one day, whatever death is, we're going to see what it is, and it's going to be cast into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. Listen, the world is deceived. A man is deceived because they really believe that Republicans and Democrats and liberals and socialists and all the rest of them and education can make a better world. It can't happen. Postmillennialism, which says we're just going to keep spreading the gospel and man's going to get gooder and gooder and gooder. And then Jesus will come back. That's not going to happen. Do you understand? No man can usher in the kingdom age. God the Father turns to God the Son and says, go get them. It's over. We're going to rescue Israel. Amen? Now, with all that being said, here we come. Verse 14, great scripture. Talking about angels. Watch this now. Are they not all ministering spirits? All of them, each and every one of them. Not governing spirits, but ministering spirits. And look what they're sent for. They're sent forth to minister. That's their official service. They're sent forth to minister to who? To those, that's us, that's the Jews back then, to those who will what? Inherit salvation. Now, he's quoting from Psalm 103, verse 20. If you look up the word angel in Hebrew or Greek, it's not speaking of their nature, it's speaking of what they do. In other words, they're sent forth to execute God's purposes. It says here, are they not all ministering what? Spirits. Now, when you think of an angel, again, you don't think of a little fat cherub, okay? When you think of an angel, do you think of them as spirits? In other words, they are supernatural, non-material beings, okay? But what is unbelievable about how God created them, if you study out the Bible, it's interesting that most of the time when angels appeared, they appeared in human form. Isn't that amazing? I mean, God gave them the ability to do that. When we get over to chapter 13 of Hebrews, verse 2, listen to this one. It says, don't forget to entertain strangers, for by doing, some have unwittedly entertained angels. I mean, how do you know that there's not an angel sitting beside you right now? Wives, poke your husband, says, I'm an angel. Really, how do you know that there's not an angel sitting with us right now? I know that there are angels all around us. Amen? Yeah, they're right here right now. And I also know that there are demonic angels in the heavenlies, those fallen angels. Now, listen very carefully. They take human form. It blows me away. How about when they appeared unto Abraham, Genesis 18:1. Now, Abraham is 100 years old. He's sitting in the front door of his tent in the heat of the day, cooling off, probably having, you know, a beverage or whatnot. And he's sitting there, and all of a sudden he lifted up his eyes at the tent door, and behold, three men. Again, they appeared as men, three men, two angels, and we know one was the Lord Jesus, okay? A theophany is what we call that. Now, they appeared and they were standing, these three men right by him. And when he saw him, this old man, Abraham, what did he do? He ran, boy, to the tent door to meet him. He bowed himself to the ground. He said, oh, Lord, listen. He says, if I found favor in your sight, don't pass by. You know, listen, let me bring a little water. Let me wash your feet. Rest yourselves under this big old tree here. I'm going to bring a morsel of bread. You may refresh your hearts and that you may pass inside. And they said, okay, do as you said. In other words, I'm going to go kill the fatted calf. I'm going to get some bread and figs and pomegranates, whatever, and we're going to have dinner. And the angel said, okay, do as you've said. That means that angels can eat. Do you ever think about that? I mean, think about that. They sit there and eat right in front of you. They're in a human form and you don't even know it's an angel. I know scripture is silent about this, but I know who prepared the dinner. It was Sarah. What do you think she made? I know what it was. Well, angel hair pasta. Dessert. Angel food cake. No deviled ham, okay? No, never mind. Now, Genesis 19, the angels came to Lot, okay? When they came there, you know, they came to the city. Lot brought them into his home. And then it says the young and the old of the city surrounded Lot's house and said, bring them out. We want to know these men carnally that you brought in. These men. So they appeared as men at the empty tomb. Listen to this one, Luke 24:4. The women, when they were there, it says, and it happened as they, meaning the women, were greatly perplexed about all this. And behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. How about when Jesus led the disciples out as far as Bethany in his ascension? It says, and while the disciples, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as Jesus went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And they told him, of course, they spoke to him. Don't you know Jesus is going to come back in the same way? This same Jesus. And then look at 14 again. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth? That's present tense. Repeatedly sent forth to minister or to serve those who inherit salvation. That's us, loved one. Now listen, things that angels cannot do. Angels cannot die. Did you know that? Yeah, Jesus told us in Luke 20, verse 36, angels also, they cannot marry. You know, God spared them that. That, you know what I'm saying? No, I didn't mean that bad. Angels cannot be born again like us. Matter of fact, they can never experience so much of the things that we experience, like forgiveness, the joy of being forgiven. And also, angels, they're not to be worshipped. Remember in the book of Revelation, which is replete with angels, okay? At the very end, I think it's in, I don't know, chapter 21 right there, when it was all over with, and John was so overwhelmed with everything, he fell down at the feet of the angel and worshiped him. And the angel said, oh no, see that you do not do this. I'm your fellow brethren's servant. He says, listen, worship God. What a good, word. Now, the things, though, that angels can do. Do you think that you have a guardian angel? That word is not used, guardian angel. But you know what? When you study Scripture, man, it's one thing is certain. They do guard sometimes, and they serve those who are saved. Amen? Let me just give you a few scriptures here. Matthew 18:10, talking about children. Take heed, Jesus said. You don't despise one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven, here it comes, in heaven, these little children. Now, their angel always sees the face of my Father who's in heaven. It seems that we have them. Amen? Now, how about Genesis 19:16? Angels, what did they do? They protect us and so forth. They rescue us. They rescued Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah, had to drag him out of the city. His wife turned back. She turned a pillar of salt. How about Daniel 6:22? Daniel in the lion's den. The angel, what did he do with the lion's mouth? He shut the mouth up and he saved Daniel from being eaten. Gabriel, the one who always is the announcer, if you will. He comes and he announces to Mary and to Zechariah. Zechariah, he's going to announce the birth of John the Baptist. And so you're going to call his name John, he said. And then to Mary about Jesus. And then the shepherds in the field. And all of a sudden when the angel did that, all the host of heaven started singing, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. So the angels of heaven. How about Jesus? Did the angels minister to Jesus? How about after his temptation? Did they come and help him? Yes, he was starving, he was hungry, hadn't eaten in 40 days. So there, how about when he was arrested? What did Jesus say when he looked at Peter and the rest of them and says, put up your sword, Peter, don't worry about it. He said, don't you know I can call 12 legions of angels right now? That's a lot of angels. How about at the tomb? Were there angels at the tomb? Absolutely. Were there angels at his resurrection? Angels at his ascension? And there's going to be angels coming with him in the second coming. And also they're going to blow a trumpet when we are raptured out of this place. Amen? So they got a big job on their hands. How about Philip? Boy, Philip, I love old Philip. Philip the evangelist, remember Acts 8:26? The angel of the Lord shows up to Philip and said, listen, Philip, go down south. Take that road that goes to the desert. He didn't know why. He just obeyed the angel. And he gets down there and all of a sudden a chariot's coming by, the Ethiopian eunuch. You know the story. And the Holy Spirit then does something. Go and overtake that chariot. So the angels, what do? Angels can guide us. And the Holy Spirit instructs, tells you what to do. How about Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 36, that they were praying and fasting because they wanted to hear more about God and how to be saved and so forth. And the angel appeared unto Cornelius and said, send to Joppa and tell Peter to get to the house. Man, the things that angels do, and they're still with us right this minute. Was Peter released from prison because of an angel? He was asleep. He's in chains and he's got guards on both sides. The angel had to wake him up. Wake up, Peter, 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 you know, arise. Man, listen, put on your clothes. Read it. Put on your clothes. Put on your sandals. Come on, Peter. Man, you think about all they've done. And you think about, you know, that here we are. Or one more. Paul in the storm. Remember in Acts chapter 27. Man, you're talking about a shipwreck is coming. The captain didn't listen to Paul, remember? And the men, they were all afraid. And he says, men, don't be afraid because an angel of the Lord stood by me tonight and told me there'll be no loss of life. And not only that, he said, I must go to Rome. I must appear before Caesar. Did you know the Bible says that all of us, loved one, listen. In 1 Corinthians 6:3, we will judge the angels. Think about that. The Bible tells us, again, a lot of scripture I'm giving you, but it's important. Angels deliver us. Listen to this. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Angels are uncountable. When we get over to chapter 12, verse 22 of Hebrews, it says that we are part of this heavenly Jerusalem to the living God, an innumerable or uncountable company of angels. Are angels powerful? How many angels did it take in Revelation 20, verse 2, to bind Satan and with a chain and cast him into the bottomless pit? One. How about in 2 Kings 19:35? How many angels did it take to kill the 185 Assyrian soldiers? One. Don't mess with the angels, amen? Man, they're powerful. Do you believe in angels? Do you believe that they rescue us? Amen? They do rescue people. You know, Billy Graham, which I have the book that he wrote, the first book that he wrote on angels a long time ago, and I was reading it because I'm studying on angels. I just want to read you this one story. It just so captivated me. Billy Graham says, I was visiting the American troops during the Korean War, and I was told of a small group of American Marines in the 1st Division who had been trapped up north, and with the thermometer at 20 degrees below zero, they were close to freezing to death, and they had nothing to eat for 6 days, and surrender to the enemy seemed their only hope of survival. But one of the men, a Christian, he pointed out certain verses of Scripture, and he taught his comrades to sing a song of praise to God. Following this, they heard a crashing noise and turned to see a wild boar rushing toward them. And as they tried to jump out of his way, the boar, he suddenly stopped in his tracks, and one of the soldiers raised the rifle to shoot him. But before he could fire, the boar fell over dead. They rushed up to kill him, but he was already dead. And that night they feasted on meat and began to regain their strength. The next morning, just as the sun was rising, they heard another noise, and their fear that the enemy patrol had discovered them suddenly vanished as they found themselves face to face with a South Korean who could speak English. And he said this, I will show you the way out. And he led them over the mountains and through the canyons and the forest to a place of safety in American lines, in other words. They turned around to thank him, but he was not there. That is an amazing story, loved one. You know, but we don't know all that God does, but we know that angels, they deliver us. A great scripture, 1 Timothy 5:21. I charge you, Paul talking to Timothy, I charge you, Paul is putting Timothy under an oath, if you will. I charge you before God. I charge you before the Lord Jesus Christ. I charge you, Paul says, before the elect angels in heaven, the choice angels of God. And he tells him what he wants him to do. I'm commanding you to do this. He says, God is watching you. All of heaven is watching you. And every choice angel or elect angel, they are watching you. Listen to me now. Angels watch you. They're watching us right now. They're with us right this minute. Big angels, teenage angels. And the Bible says, remember, it was a young angel sitting on the stone. He's probably a teenage angel. I don't know. No. Listen, they're watching us. They observe us. And they are in awe of you. As they watch you, they're in awe of us, the church of the living God, the body of Christ. Spurgeon said this, a soul in converse, or in other words, praying with God, is the admiration of angels. You know what Paul the apostle said about us and angels, the principalities and the powers? Listen very carefully. In Ephesians 3:10, Paul says, now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, that's us, made known to whom? To the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. That's good angels, bad angels, all created beings. Amen? That, in other words, our salvation, Peter says, is so tremendous in 1 Peter 1:12 that the angels desire to look into it. Our salvation is so incredible to them. Listen, angels are not omniscient. They don't know everything. Do you understand? They serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The angels, they're amazed at us. They were amazed, loved one, when the Holy Spirit overshadowed a little 17-year-old girl named Mary. They couldn't believe it. They were amazed when here Jesus left heaven, came to earth, born of the Virgin, was born a man without sin, a man. And then what did Joseph and Mary, what did they do with their little baby? Where did they place him? In a manger, a feed trough where the animals eat. They went, you got to be kidding me. When Jesus grew up and they watched him, the God-man, and when they saw the Roman soldiers take him and blindfold him and beat him and take a lictor's lash full of glass and lead and literally ripped the flesh off of his back, they scourged him. They beat him so bad in the face, and then they would say, if you be the Son of God, if you be the Christ, prophesy, who hit you? Who smote you? They said. Then they drug him and put him on a tree. And they saw, the angels saw the darkness come upon this planet from 12 to 3, while the Son of God, the one who left heaven, who became the Son of Man, bore the sin of the entire world. They were in awe. They couldn't believe it. And you know what they can't believe? When they look at us, here we are, the lives that we've led, and God says, you want the angels go, you want this guy? You really want, oh, Bill, you got to be kidding me. Look at this. Look at him. And then he saves me. Listen to me. They don't understand when you or any believer speaks evil of another believer. Angels, they're shocked when a believer gossips and harms and slanders anyone in the body of Christ or anyone, period. Oh, loved one, listen. They are watching you. They are watching you right this minute. Man, angels who have spent their entire existence in the presence of Almighty God in heaven, the things that they know, the things that they've seen, they are staggered. They are in awe over you, the church. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have a low view of the church? That's you, you know. Do you have a low view? If you do, you better repent. And I mean that with all my heart, because the church of Jesus Christ is God's greatest work, His greatest masterpiece. And you know what? That's who we are. Oh, listen, man, the angels, they are in awe. Now, that's a few things angels can and cannot do. Let's close out with this one verse, verse 14 there, where it talks about those who will inherit salvation. Now listen, when we get over to chapter 2, we're going to learn that first warning of the danger there of treating lightly so great of salvation. And did you know that salvation is mentioned 7 times in Hebrews, more than any other book of the New Testament? You know, we need to wake up. The time is short. Did you know that? It's short. Listen, Paul said in Romans 13:11, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Awake out of sleep. That word to wake up means the church. You're totally unconscious of the things that God is doing. He says, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. So heirs of salvation in verse 14, those who will inherit salvation. Now listen, it's important. This is a Jewish book, if you will, written to Jewish readers. When it says salvation here, then inherit salvation, it's not speaking of justification. Justification happens the moment you're born again. Amen? So this right here is justification is past tense. This verse here is future tense, if you will. So the salvation in Hebrews is future tense when Jesus returns. Again, the readers are Jewish. They're talking about the kingdom of God, the thousand-year reign, if you will. And that's when Jesus comes back. Listen to the scripture, Matthew 25, 34. And the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We will come back with the Lord. But listen now, we're going to also stand before the Bema Seat of Christ, aren't we? We're going to be judged for the things done in our body, whether good or bad. That's not a place where we're going to lose our salvation, but some of the things that we've done, our works, they may be burned up and we might suffer loss, but not losing our salvation. Listen to me now. In the kingdom, and I'll get more into this way later, but in the kingdom, there's only 2 kinds of people, subjects and sovereign. And those that are there are those who Jesus allowed in. Wouldn't it be terrible if we went and here we are in the thousand-year reign and we're supposed to be serving over here and helping the Lord reign with a rod of iron, remember, from the psalmist? But you see, we didn't really serve Him. But we're there. But He's not going to trust us with anything. Does that make sense? That's a horrible thought, isn't it? I don't want to be ashamed in that day. No. Loved one, listen. These 7 quotes that I just quoted in this study this morning, one noted author, and it moved me when I read it. I want to read what he said. The 7 quotes are words of God. They're not Moses or David or, you follow me? They're words from God the Father spoken to the Son, which the church on earth has been permitted to hear. We just heard 7 things that God said about His Son. Boy, how we need to embrace that.
As we close today's program, we're reminded of the glorious truth found in Hebrews chapter 1, that Jesus is far superior to any created being, including the angels. He is the radiance of God's glory and the exact imprint of His nature, upholding the universe by the word of His power. We encourage you to reflect on His preeminence this week and to join us again on Monday as we continue our journey through this powerful book. May God bless you with a wonderful weekend and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.